When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Incoming fax from Stadium and Gale.
It's Stadium and Gale, fax only recruiting show, and I'm with Dan the Animal and my man Connor. Connor, how you doing?
Good, man. How you guys doing?
Not a bad day.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
It's good to be back on the call with you guys.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot that's happened since then. You had a birthday. You got married.
Yeah, big boy stuff.
Yeah, man. Honeymoon's on Friday, so.
Woo! Where are you going?
It's been a busy time. I'm going to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, sir.
Oh, very good. Very good. Mountains, whitewater rafting?
Cabin?
Yeah, whitewater rafting in 40-degree weather. Definitely. Solid life choices.
Hey, you know, you just put on a white suit either one.
White suit sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds about
it. Yeah, it's too cold for that right now, Dan.
Way too cold for that.
So are you just going to hang out in a cabin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, very good. We can stop the details there, too.
Yeah, that's props.
That's exciting, man. Well, I'm happy for you.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations. Happy for you and the wife. That's dope. How's it feel?
Appreciate it, man. Oh, it feels good, man. It's been good. It's only been a week, so honeymoon stage still in full effect. So
you feel washed yet?
Oh, I definitely feel washed.
There you go.
I was in bed at 8 o'clock the other night, so yeah. There you go.
You're on your way to greatness, man.
I love it, man. I love it. Hey, well, let's get into the show. Let's pay our bills first, and then we'll get into a big week ahead. So this show is sponsored by our friends over at Lemon and Lines, which is a local online design business focused on creating custom work for your business. Rebecca Allison and her husband, Chris, are multiple Gator grads, specialize in branding, web design, graphic design, and everything in between. Lemon and Lines works one-on-one with clients to handcraft eye-catching websites, logos, brand design, social media graphics, and videos, email templates, print and digital marketing materials, t-shirts, merchandise design, and custom graduation and wedding stationery. Visit them, Lemon and Lines. That's L-E-M-O-N and lines.com or 321-300-6557. All right, boys, couple hires, another person leaving staff today, got some recruiting changes. Let's talk about recruiting. Let's start with Wes McGriff. He was hired first, came over from Auburn previously with Ole Miss and a number of other places. The thoughts on Wes McGriff, the recruiter, the crime dog.
I've gotten my takes off on a couple podcasts, so I'm going to let Connor go first.
I mean, he's got a pretty solid track record. I mean, the bags were big when he was at Ole Miss pulling five stars like Robert Condici and Tony O'Connor. But, I mean, he's been responsible for a few kids recently at Auburn, pulled Amari Harvey this cycle. From Tallahassee, and a couple other four-star kids. Nothing that really wows you around this century, because he's got quite the track record as far as coaching. But I think developmental is the biggest thing. I don't think he's going to be a guy that wows you on a recruiting trail. He's going to be one of those guys that puts a better product on the field. So I'm hoping anyways.
From a recruiting standpoint, you think we upgraded? So he's coaching corners of safety. He's coaching safeties, correct?
I think he's coaching safeties.
Do you think we upgraded from English at that position? Did we stay the same?
I would say, I mean, English had a solid class this year, but before that it was abysmal. So I would say it's hopefully an upgrade.
Right. Just knowing how English recruited behind the scenes and knowing how awkward he could be sometimes, some of the things he tweeted in the past, I think we upgraded at that spot. We'll talk about the other position. As far as recruiting, I definitely think we upgraded. On the field, I hope he could be better than what we saw at our safety position since English been here. You know, it ain't hard to be better than that. So I think it's wait and see for both of these guys, but on paper, I love the Wesley McGriff hire. It makes a lot of sense where the production his secondary has gotten. It's better than some of the other guys we wanted, like T-Rob. T-Rob just a name that we're all so familiar with. I wasn't very in tune with Wesley McGriff's resume. I had to do some research myself when we hired him. T-Rob just is a guy that has been around Florida for a long time, so we all know the reputation he has as a recruiter, but when you start doing a little bit more research and looking at the nuts and bolts of the entire hire on paper, I like the Wesley McGriff hire.
Yeah, and he's taking over a pretty solid group of kids that are committed. I think Rivals had Corey Collier finish the cycle as a five-star. He's coming in. Donovan McMillan from Pennsylvania, who I know we are all really high on, former wrestler, state champion wrestler. I know that they're excited about him. Trying to think of who else kind of off the top of my head here. Regardless, you know, he's coming into a situation where he's inheriting Dakota Mitchell, where he's inheriting a decent room that I think really can only go one direction. You know, Trey Eden coming back, I think that helps. It'll be interesting to see. We haven't seen much of him, you know, knock out the lights on recruiting recently. But when he was at Ole Miss, I think he landed Kandichi. He landed, who was it, Connor as well. Connors. So, you know, I think that he has the ability, but I think that he is an upgrade overall. I don't think that he's the same recruiter he was 7-8 years ago, but I definitely think he's an upgrade over Ron English.
Yeah, I was looking through. He's actually landed a couple pretty solid safeties in the last couple years. Pulled a kid out of Texas to go to Auburn. A kid that I was real high on last cycle, Ladarius Tennyson, from the Rock Ledge area. He pulled him out of Florida. And then, like I said, pulled Amari Harvey. So he's done some solid stuff recently, just not the five-star caliber guys like Robert Kamdichi, Tony Connor, and then Brandon Harris that he pulled in Miami so long ago.
Yeah, he's had a solid track record regardless of the stop he's been at. I think he's never recruited poorly. He's recruited good to great. Wherever he was at, it was never average or mediocre. So I think like ultimately recruiting starts at the top. So can he bring in a little bit more spice? Yeah, but it's all going to come down to Dan Mullen prioritizing this. Let's speculate a little bit. Which area do you think he covers?
I would imagine, I don't know. I would imagine we'll get into his name here in a second. Jules Montanar or Montanare will probably take, you know, part of that Lakeland, Tampa area that is being vacated by Torin Gray leaving, just because he is familiar-ish with that area being from USF. But as far as I know, and as sources are telling me, that they are still working through all of that right now, especially with Brian Johnson leaving. So he's been able to recruit Texas. He's been able to recruit in Alabama. He's been able to recruit in Florida. I think he's a guy that you probably put just about anywhere that they need help in.
Yeah, purely speculation. I think they give him South Florida. Right. With Brian Johnson leaving, he was the South Florida guy. I think they give McGriff South Florida because he has ties to South Florida from being at Miami before. And then, obviously, I think he's going to recruit like the Alabama, maybe North Georgia area because he's been there for a while as well.
He's from that area, right? If I'm not mistaken, I think he's from Georgia, Alabama area.
He's from Tifton, Georgia, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that would make sense. I think Brian Johnson leaving, unless we hire an offensive coordinator or a quarterback coach that has some Miami ties or just can recruit, because I don't think Brian Johnson had any South Florida ties. He just can recruit.
Right.
So it just depends on the high of that. But right now, I think that's going to be his area. And that kind of gives Dan a little bit more flexibility with not worrying about trying to find a day guy or anything like that. I don't think he would anyway. He don't care about recruiting enough to – to give that some thought.
but no, I mean, let's move on to Jules Montaner then. You know, he was announced that he's coming on board as the cornerbacks coach last season with University of South Florida. Year before that, he was quality control with Georgia, spent some time in Alabama, spent some time in Eastern Kentucky and a few other schools, Texas State. Had a couple of Sunbelt recruiting, or had a Sunbelt recruiter title, recruiter of the year title under his belt. Comes in younger guy. I think he's about 32, 33 years old. Not a ton of D1 experience or FBS experience, but he's known as a dynamic recruiter, originally from, I believe, the Naples area, and has kind of traveled all around. So where do you guys see him? Do you see him sliding into that Torrin Gray, Lakeland, Tampa area, or what are your expectations out of him?
Let's go expectations first. How do you like – I just want to attack this from a recruiting standpoint because we got to talk about the hire and everything on Stady Miguel, of course. From a recruiting standpoint, he got a lot of things that you would like as far as his youth. I wanted somebody not on Dan Mullen's coaching tree, just a fresh face. I wouldn't mind if it was somebody like Rat. We all talk about that possibility in the group chats. I wouldn't mind if it was somebody like Rat, but if not – give me some young face that's not a part of this tree. The kid, he has Florida ties. He's recruited well in the Sun Belt. I think selling translates. If you could be recruiter of the year in the Sun Belt, I think that translates to any other conference. I think sellers just sell. So on paper, did we talk? We haven't talked to Jules Hire yet, did we?
No, I mean, we did a little bit. I mean, we all kind of agreed that we don't really know what we're getting. Right. And kind
right.
of,
okay. So we talked about it. I don't want,
you know, Texas State, you know, quality control guy, learned under Nick Saban, learned under, Kirby Smart. Obviously, Scott, the head coach at Clemson, or pardon me, at USF, previously at Clemson, is a well-regarded guy. Obviously he thought Jules Montaner was a well-regarded guy, was the recruiting coordinator. You know, he's a young, you know, African American that I think will resonate, you know, with kids.
Yeah, I agree with all the points you guys hit on. Like you said, he was the recruiting coordinator at USF this last year. They went from outside the top 100 to I think the number 53 class in the country or something like that.
How
last
is
year.
USF out of the top 100 when it comes to recruiting?
It's a great question. But with Jeff Scott getting there, Jules Montaner becoming the recruiting coordinator, they jumped about 40 to 50 spots on a 1-8 season. So, I mean, right. it's not all him, obviously, but there's stuff there that you like to see. Like you said, the Bama track record being there as a GA, working under Kirby as a quality control guy. He's a young guy, Florida ties, like you said, Sun Belt recruiter of the year, whatever it was.
Yeah, like it's a good progression.
If you can sell a kid to come to Texas State, I think you can sell a kid to come to the University of Florida.
Right.
So
you got a track record of being at Georgia, then going to Alabama, being around two good recruiting staffs, then your first one of your gigs on the field. You get recruiter of the conference, so right. Like a lot of things is making sense. You get me?
Yeah,
so I think selling just translates. I think that part of it's going to translate. Other things as far as like other staff being able to negative recruit his
resume. And he's a young guy that's relatively unproven, and you've got somebody that I think he's one of those guys that wants to make a name for himself. So he's going to bust his butt on a recruiting trail, try to make a name for himself at his first big time on field coaching position. So I, like you said, it's a kind of a wait and see approach. We don't really know what to expect from him, but I like the potential that's there.
Right. You know,
there's a negative sell that we also got to hop on, because any other staff could also sell. This guy hasn't recruited anybody. Torrin Gray, biggest sell in English, biggest sell was the resumes and the guys they put in the NFL. So we got to look at the other side of that coin. Other programs could negative recruit us at the cornerback spot right now.
Yeah, and he's going to, you know, he's going to be throwing a bunch of talent really quickly. You know, Jaden Hill, Kyer Elam, obviously you bring Jason Marshall in, you bring in a slew of folks and, you know, on the team already, you know, that are highly regarded guys, pardon me, that you should be able to see what you're able to produce. You know, if you continue to advance Kyer Elam's, you know, skill set, and, you know, you advance, you know, Jaden Hill and you put Jason Marshall in a decent position, all of a sudden you go from a guy that's nobody ever heard of to, you know, a guy that helped, you know, mold a first round draft pick. Now, you can say that Kyrie Elam might have already been on that track before, but you know, we see these guys throwing around accomplishments for things that they did or didn't do all the time. So, right, like you get a guy in the first round.
Your resume is your resume.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I trust, you know, the hire. I don't know a ton about him, but we talked about this on Stadium Gale. There's a lot of coaches that I know nothing about, right? I mean, I knew Weston McGriff's name. I knew about his reputation, but I didn't know a ton about him as a person. I don't know a ton about most of these guys. You know, unless you've been around for 25, 30 years and been a coordinator or head coach, there's not a likelihood that I've heard your name. So the opportunity for guys like Jules to come in, I mean, I think that, you know, it's a natural progression for him. You know, I don't think that T-Rob would have been significantly better. I think that you get a guy in Jules that'll probably stick around a little bit longer. You know, have some continuity at that position.
No, Dan loves that continuity.
He does. He does. This Dan loves continuity too. But, you know, we talked a little bit about it in St. Gale, but Connor, obviously you're close to recruiting as well, is, you know, being able to be a Sun Belt recruiter of the year or to recruit, you know, to a school like USF is a very challenging proposition because you're trying to convince kids that, you know, or that borderline, you know, maybe power five guys that you're trying to sell, hey, instead of being fourth, fifth, sixth on the depth chart over there, come be number one over here. And that's a challenging, you know, position to try to sell because, you know, all of the lights and all the glamour of, you know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, South Carolina, Clemson, et cetera, that is a very bright light and very intriguing spot, you know, but being able to sell the opportunity to come in and start right away and, you know, is a different skill set. And, you know, if you can recruit at that level, I think that you can recruit in the SEC.
I agree.
Cool.
We're in wait and see mode because we got more news and updates. You can talk about it. We'll go down the list. So
yeah, we got one more staff announcement. Brian Johnson, quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, it has been announced that he's leaving to go join the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL as their quarterback's coach, leaving Florida with a gaping hole on the offensive side of the ball. Brian Johnson was widely considered Florida's, you know, most recognized up and coming coach, widely considered Florida's probably best recruiter, you know, and might have even been considered Florida's best coach overall. So with that being said, Florida does have a gap, you know, that is gaping there. Now we all agree that, you know, this is Dan Mullen's offense. He shouldn't have a problem, you know, maintaining some success there. But what are your guys' thoughts on him leaving purely from a recruiting standpoint?
Our recruiting standpoint, I think he was the best recruiter on our staff. He's just a young guy, a bright offensive mind. He dealt with the quarterbacks, cool guy. A lot of those demeanors are hard to come by. He's not a loud guy that won all the pats on the back, but just a guy that pulls up into the office, get his job done quietly and do what he got to do. So it's a big miss. We all been saying and singing our praise of Brian Johnson, the type of work he's been doing, the type of recruit he is, coordinator he is. So this was expected. He's been getting interviews. People been giving him a call. You're like, Dan Mullen put him in position to get these type of jobs. So from a recruiting standpoint, I think we're missing somebody that's going to be big shoes to fill, whoever they bring in.
Yeah, I agree. We, like Corey said, we all kind of expected him to be gone within the next year. So we thought we kind of dodged a bullet when the smaller schools didn't hire him as a head coach. So for him to leave as the quarterback's coach of the Philadelphia Eagles was kind of surprising, leaving that hole in South Florida. But also, like Corey said, the biggest, probably the best recruiter on staff, kind of walking away. So somebody's going to have to step up. We don't know if it's going to be able to be Jules or Wes, but somebody's going to have to fill that hole. I don't think Dan's going to go out and try to get a recruiting juggernaut at the quarterback's coach. I think Dan's offense is Dan's offense. He's going to get somebody probably that he knows to come in, develop the quarterbacks the way he likes it. And the new guys or the guys that are still on staff are going to have to step up and pick up that slack that Brian Johnson's leaving behind on the trail.
Yeah, I'm
I'm be honest, whoever gets Dade County, like if it's Wesley McGriff that goes to Dade County, he's probably going to be our best recruiter on the staff, right? Just from a standpoint of our support staff down there. And like, it's just been working out that way. I don't think it was just Brian Johnson. I think we did well with the staff before as well in South Florida. We get hitting some of those guys, man. So
I think that the position is an enticing one. You know, we talked, you know, about, you know, working for Todd Grantham on the defensive side of the ball. Is that attractive? And, you know, did Florida potentially lose some people, you know?
I don't think – I got a take on that too, because we all – I don't think it's attractiveness was a problem with that job. I think letting go some control and bringing outsiders in was a problem with bringing somebody in for our defensive hires.
Right. No, I agree.
It was attractive to T-Rod. People want to come put this logo on. You know, like they know with being a Florida assistant that how you can level your career up. Mm-hmm. I just think it's the unwillingness of and stubbornness from Grantham's them side more than anything.
And it very well could be. You know, I'm curious to see how this position to work under Dan Mullen is received. I would imagine very well. You know, I'd be curious to see if he goes back to somebody he's already worked with, somebody he knows, somebody that maybe played under him, or if he goes with a unique name. You know, so before we started, you mentioned Tom Herman's
name. He's running out of people he worked with. That's how we got Jules.
Well, right. Well, I mean, when you don't really have much turnover, you know, ever, you're kind of stuck with who's in your tree. So, you know, I'd like to see, you know, an aggressive, you know, young, you know, up and comer name. You know, whenever you have people, you know, that move on to the NFL, that's a, you know, potentially an upgrade for them. And, you know, I think that Brian Johnson's probably going to be a guy that you hear a lot from over the next few years. Let's talk a little bit about National Signing Day and 2022 a little bit. But before we do that, let's give a shout out. If you're looking to buy a new home or sell your home, maybe a piece of commercial property you're looking to get rid of or you're looking to acquire, give Danette Thompson with Central Property Realty a call at 954-341-9089. She has over 30 years of experience in real estate, is based down in South Florida, is a proud Gator and University of Florida alumnus. So give her a call at 954-383-9194 or visit centralpropertiesrealty.com. Again, 954-341-9089. National Signing Day is coming up next Wednesday. This is about as uninterested in National Signing Day as there probably ever has been. Anybody that we need to look forward to next week, Connor, besides Terry and Arnold?
No, that's the only name that really Florida's recruiting. That's a high school recruit. And I don't expect him to pick Florida, so it should be a pretty uneventful day for the Gators on Wednesday.
Where do you have him going?
I think he ends up at Alabama, adding to the already best recruiting class in history.
Wow. Well, neat. So, any other thoughts?
Thoughts on what again? I'm sorry. I was reading. Just, I was reading.
2021 class. Yeah, no, I got you.
Oh, 2021 class. Yeah, I mean, another letdown. You know, one for the books. You know, we get all hyped up, hoping we could do some things, and something would change when we had these historic seasons of offense, and you know, we went in 10 games, getting to Atlanta. What we're finishing at is unacceptable. They got to make some changes if they want to compete with the big dogs. There's no defying the odds of recruiting. You need top classes, top five classes to compete for national championships.
Sorry.
Def. So I'm disappointed.
Silk, I am texting about the message that you put in our chat about that guy that is currently on staff. And the response that I got was yes. So it looks like there might be a hire into this position very, very soon, as far as we know. So you will be hearing that probably shortly. You know, Florida's finishing somewhere in the 11, 12, 13 spot. I don't think that that's acceptable, you know, for how successful Florida has been on the offensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball. They've been able to develop, put people in the league. You can't win a national championship consistently being ranked 10, 11th, 12th, 13th. So definitely want to see an improvement there. And we also can't continuously lose people to Alabama and Georgia and Clemson and South Carolina, or not South Carolina, into South Florida as often as we are. So we're definitely not losing anybody to South Carolina.
Definitely.
No, I was just reading up on that. Yeah, a little information Connor gave me. But, yeah, I'm not mad at that at all. That wouldn't be bad, you know. Anywho, yeah, this year was a letdown. What else we going to talk about? We had some five-stars bumped up, right? What was the updates on that? 247 made some updates?
They gave Jason Marshall a five-star. And Connor and his folks at Rivals gave Corey Collier a 5-star or finished.
So we got 2 5-stars. Yeah, whatever. We got 2. However you want to shake it up. Shout out to Rivals.
Sure. Yeah, Corey Collier remained a 5-star. So a lot of people thought he was going to drop down outside that range, but he was actually the last 5-star rated in the Rivals 250.
What do you think? He comes in and play right away?
I think there's an opportunity for him to do so. I mean, safety room's been lackluster. He's on campus right now, going through weight training, going through all the strength and conditioning programs. So if he puts on a little bit of weight, you know, I think he can.
Yeah, you never know. New DB coach back there, get a fresh look at these boys. Everybody got a fresh start, you know. Compete for the job. I like Marshall and Carrier to come in and get some playing time early, man.
I do too, especially with both of them being on campus right now.
Yeah, I think Jason Marshall gets a ton of playing time.
Donovan McMillan's on campus right now too, so you never know with him as well.
Yep. Yeah, Connor, we talked about this on the show the other day. Do you think Jason Marshall starts next season at all?
I think he can.
No. We don't do cans on this show. He either will or won't. We put our opinions out there, and we get roasted when we're wrong.
All right, sounds good. I think he does start at some point during the season. I don't think it's week one. But I do think he'll be the starter opposite Kyer Elam at some point.
Very good. Very good. All right. So let's get into our final part of the show. Silk wanted to talk a little bit about the 2022 quarterbacks next season. There are probably 5 names that everybody will have heard of or will not learn the names of. Nico Markiol. Is that how you pronounce it, Connor?
I believe so.
Yeah, we don't really need to worry about it too much. He's a guy that was recently on campus from Arizona, Gilbert, Arizona, I believe, or Chandler, Arizona, go to Gilbert High School, whatever the case may be. He is on campus or was on campus. It looks like he's going to probably end up going to Florida State. I don't think Florida wanted to take a commitment, even if he was ready to do so. So let's talk about the 4 other names, Connor Wegman, MJ Morris, Cade Klubnik, and Ja'Kari Brown. Silk, I know who your favorite is. So we'll get to you in a second. Connor, break down a couple of those names for us.
Connor Wegman's a quarterback from Texas, plays both football and baseball and is looking to do so at the next level. One of the top baseball prospects in the country as well. I'm a big fan of that kid. I think I would have him number 1 on my board if I was putting together a quarterback board. Very good athlete, good arm talent. But I don't think he leaves the state of Texas. I think the most realistic option on the board would be outside of Ja'Kari Brown would probably be MJ Morris. MJ Morris is a kid from Georgia. Had a really good relationship with Brian Johnson and Dan Mullen, but now that Brian Johnson's gone, we'll see how that throws a wrench into the system. I liken him to a Deshaun Watson coming out of high school, maybe a little bit smaller than Deshaun was, but he's got the natural arm talent. Ball just jumps off his hands. And I'm a big fan of that kid. Kid that Dan Mullen just recently offered, I think earlier this week or end of last week, is Cade Klubnik. I hope I didn't butcher that kid's name. He is, I believe, a Texas A&M legacy out of Texas as well. Another very talented kid, really good arm strength, athletic ability. You see that now that Dan Mullen's gotten to be able to recruit his guys, he's taking guys that have the ability to make plays with their legs, not just runners, but guys that can extend plays and make plays with their legs when they need to, but pass first guys. And then I'll let Corey break down his favorite guy.
I'll break him down. I think I've tooted his horn enough. I like Ja'Kari Brown a lot. Developmental guy. I don't think a lot of the guys Dan bring in is going to be too polished. They all look like they need some work mechanic-wise and whatnot, but I think he's a really good athlete, strong arm, big, strong kid, can fill out that frame and be able to run the ball and do some things. But I mean, Dan's shown that also he's wanting to get a pocket pass as well, and we got the kid and the guy from last cycle. I don't think they'll go 2 quarterbacks this cycle, so you got your developmental guy, and you got your I think 1 this class. I don't know if it's going to be Ja'Kari Brown, but that's the guy. Like, who's your favorite?
I think Ja'Kari Brown has the highest ceiling of anybody that's on the board. And he's wrong. With the quarterback room being the way it is, I don't think he touches the field till year 3, anyways. Right. So it's one of those situations where if you take a guy like that, you're stoked that you have a super athlete And he's got the ability to sit down behind guys like Anthony Richardson, Emory Jones, Carlos Del Rio, Jalen Kitna, whoever takes over that job over the next few years and can develop under Dan Mullen. My favorite guy, though, is kind of a toss-up between MJ Morris and Connor Wegman.
I think I like Connor Wegman the most. I think that he's, in terms of competition that he plays against, in terms of just his overall mechanics and everything else, are strong. Like you guys mentioned, I don't think Florida is ever going to take the most polished guy. I mean, it would be cool to get a guy that was like relatively polished and then could like be enhanced, but you know, it's a different subject for a different time. But you know, at the end of the day, I think that there's a lot of good opportunities. Florida is not in a desperate need to get, you know, multiple quarterbacks or anything else. I think that Dan Mullen will get the guy that he feels like fits his system the most. And I think any of those first four names, Connor Wegman, MJ Morris, Cade Klubnik, or Ja'Kari Brown could all do well at Florida. Do I see any of them as world beaters? No. But I see all of them as good, solid players. And hopefully Florida's able to grab one, and they should be able to after what Dan was able to do with, you know, Tim Tebow, Dak Prescott, what was the other kid's name from Mississippi State? And then
Nick Fitzgerald.
And then obviously with Kyle Trask and Felipe Frank. So.
Yeah, I'm in on that hire. Yeah, I'm okay on it. I don't know.
Yeah. So when it comes out, when the QB coach gets announced, it looks like it's going to be an internal promotion. It's my understanding that that person is going to just be the quarterback coach, not necessarily promoted into the offensive coordinator role that is being vacated by Brian Johnson. I am not 100% sold. I'm not even 50% sold. It seems quick and lazy, but what do I know?
Right.
Former head coach at UAB, offensive coordinator at Northwestern, has some experience, but again, I do think that there are some better names out there. But
he has better stuff on his resume than that. Don't cut him down that short. I mean, he's been associated head coach and
– Well, you know, I said no. He was a head coach at UAB. He was assistant head coach at Louisville, offensive coordinator at Illinois, was an analyst at Missouri, wide receiver coach at Missouri. Right. But it seems
I don't know his resume. I don't know.
Fallen off over the last 6 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's a peak. I see he's gotten some jobs. He's had some years where he went, I think, 10-3, went to the Sugar Bowl. Yeah. He was offense coordinator for Arkansas at the time, 2011 or something like that. Just kind of doing a little flashback. So he had some moments where he had some good offenses and did some good things, but got the UAB job. Don't look like he was ready for it. Got fired. He was an analyst at Missouri. Then on the field the next year. He's an analyst here and be on the field the next year. So it's kind of be a seesaw of stuff like that. I just don't know, like, how does he fit into what the hell we got going on?
I have no idea. He's a guy that 6 years ago when he was 40, got the head coaching job at UAB. Seemed to have a pretty quick rise from some school called Langston, then to Northern Iowa. Then he was quality control coach with your Jacksonville Jaguars. Then Toledo, UNLV, Northwestern, becomes offense coordinator there. QB coach at Arkansas back when they were doing well in the SEC. OC QB coach there again, and then UAB, and then ever since then was at Louisville for 2 years, Illinois for 2 years, Missouri, Florida. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's going to be polishing the quarterback.
Former QB.
Yeah, he's a quarterback coach. Dan's calling the plays.
Yeah.
That's one thing we know. Like, I mean, I thought Dan had his fingerprints on the plays. You see the Brian Johnson with all the pass and the Big 12 stuff. I think a lot of that concepts was from him, but yeah, Dan's just calling the plays, and it's perfect timing because we need to run the ball next year. We got Emory and a run game to get out there, man. So that's just all that means to me. I don't know what this means in recruiting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what type of recruiting this guy is.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd have to go back and really look.
Yeah. When is this coming out?
It's coming out tomorrow morning.
We're going to, like, shit about to be crazy in the morning.
Yeah, the internet's already on fire, so.
Oh, okay.
It's all over the timeline, so.
Oh, there you go.
All right. So the name we're talking about.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what we're talking about. Outside of that, you boys have any other final thoughts before we shut down?
I'm good, man.
Cool. We'll put another one of these out in the next week or two, just going over everything and where Florida's at. We'll break down, you know, some of the other position groups that Florida's going to be going after. The dead period was extended into the middle of April. There's no on-campus visits or anything like that. It looks like the NCAA might change the rule and allow for a quiet period instead of a completely dead period. We'll talk a little bit more about what that means after they make that announcement. But outside of that, let's ride.
Facts only. Stadium Miguel, same corner, same time.
Same corner, same time. I learned that one the other day.
Dan finally said it right. Wow. Wow. Facts.
Yeah. Facts only. We'll see you guys.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.